Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. We're here with Fred Robanis with everyone from Jackson and Avery. See, I got it right this time. You have to practice. That's what you have to do if you ever have a podcast show. But actually, Fred was on the show before, and I think just Jackson was on it, right?
Yep. But we got the third wheel. We got Avery.
So we're going to start with greatest catches ever in your history of fishing. We're going to start with you, and we're going to work our way down. So maybe it was the biggest fish or the biggest stringer. What would it be?
Well, I mean, it's obvious. The greatest catch was my wife, Julie.
Oh my gosh. He is scoring all kinds of points right now.
I just earned a week of free fishing.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Take it home and your grass is up to the knee.
she does say she has three boys. So anyway, my biggest, greatest fish catch. It's funny because I really don't know the size of this fish. Now, I was 12 years old and I was fishing off a dock and I threw a black and blue jig with a green pork rind.
Right.
And I caught a giant bass. And I had my old Larry Nixon, Team Daiwa, Rod Hill combo, it was cool. And it was on 12-pound line, and I brought it up to the ranger station at this Lafayette Reservoir in California where I grew up. And they had to weigh it was a little spring scale that dropped down to 12 pounds.
Right.
And we put it up there, and it dropped right down to 12 pounds. So they gave me 12-pound lake record at the time.
Right.
And, it was on a little Polaroid photo. They just printed out right there, and then put it on the little
– on the bulletin board,
And stick attacking it. Lake record. New lake record caught. Well, it's a special fish because it really got my drive and passion into fishing and wanting, it was cool. Like, you accomplished something at a young age and everyone's just like, oh my gosh, you see that big fish? It just made you feel good. Like you won a big tournament, And it kind of instilled the where I'm at now, making bass fishing not just a dream but a reality. So now looking back on it, I do have this, if you guys look at my Instagram account, it's like the first photo pinned. And you guys can judge the size of it. Looking at it, I've caught plenty of 12. I weighed a 13 in a tournament one time, and I can tell you it's bigger than that. So you guys can make your own judgment on it. I can tell you it's a minimum of 12 pounds, but I'm thinking it's probably closer to 15.
Wow. That takes us up to Jackson, who also got to go to Zimbabwe.
I did get to go to Zimbabwe. Yeah.
So great big, what we learned, what we'd say were crawdads were down
huge.
There.
Huge, yeah.
But what's your biggest bass that you ever caught?
That's a hard one. My biggest bass, probably 7 3/4 to 8 pounds. I've caught a bunch in that range, or a couple in that range, not a bunch. Right. I've caught a bunch around 6 3/4 to 7 pounds, but I've caught 3 or 4 probably closer to 8.
Right.
The other day I was fishing, my second Toyota series ever at Sam Rayburn. It was March 1st or something like that. And I'm running the first day. I have 16 pounds, 17 pounds. Nothing great, but it had me in the mix to make the final day. Second day, I'm kind of struggling. Caught a 5 right off the bat and then nothing to go with it. So I'm at 14, 15 pounds. And it's getting close to the end of the day. I run in the back of some creek that I honestly thought was Five Fingers. It was called Norris.
Right. Yep.
And I'm like, man, all right. Well, I know historically there's been a lot of big fish caught. I go look down on LiveScope, and there's just one just giant sitting down there. Drops straight down on his head. He comes up slowly, hits it, and I'm like, oh, it's a big catfish. Comes up, Wallers, and I'm like, oh, that's the one, and it was a 7-11. So that's now my biggest I've caught in a tournament. But I know the more I fish out of state and whatnot, I'm going to get a big one before long.
That's right. And Avery, what's your biggest bass?
A 6-pound smallmouth.
Wow, a smallmouth, 6 pounds. So you had traveled with your dad up somewhere, hadn't you?
Yes, sir.
What lake? Do you remember?
Lake Ontario.
Ontario.
Oh, Ontario. Has he ever taken you to Lake Champlain? That's a phenomenal place.
Yeah.
Champlain. And is he taking you to Minnesota, to La Crosse?
Yeah.
You remember that?
La Crosse.
When he was up there and he's saying all kinds of words that he's not supposed to say. Because that place is like full of rocks and sandbars.
It's a lot like home. So,
do you have your own boat or kayak?
I do not have my own boat or kayak, but.
Oh, really?
We do have kayaks that I fished out.
All right.
So it's funny because he just last week, I'm going to interrupt this a little bit here because we have a funny story here. Last week, right after we worked the Bassmaster Classic Expo. We came home, and we've had these kayaks for a few years since Jackson has been fishing some of the tournaments back a few years ago before we got into the bass boat. Anyway, we decided to go kayaking. We're like, you know, let's go kayaking. So we went out there, and I had actually hooked into a little tiny one, flipped my kayak, and lost my rods, and I'm in the water wallowing, and I'm hearing him screaming and hollering, and he had actually caught his PB largemouth simultaneously as I flipped my kayak. So he's over there hollering. It's got all the attention right over there. And that was, what, 4.5, 5 pounds, something like that?
Wow.
And I'm, yeah.
You're drowning?
I'm drowning. Well, we wore life jackets. We were smart.
Were you on Darnell?
No, no. Oh, luckily, we were in a pond not too far away. But... yeah, we went back. And then Jack, you know, he's going to tell you that was his biggest bass, but I cast a few years ago. Do you remember that one he caught in the pond across the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, he caught,
yeah, he caught one.
I
just
was pushing 8 pounds. I don't know. Was it 7.15 or something like that?
7.13.
Wow.
But, and it had a big old yellow tag in the back, and I made him let it go before we looked at it, and it would have been $200.
No, it could have been a boat, they said, because... oh. Phoenix that year.
See, he's got a better memory of you letting him make it.
It was a minimum of $300, and it could have been up to a boat. So I'm like,
I like to play it down a little bit because it was my fault. Right? So I'm just go ahead and let it go.
So do you have a boat?
I do have a boat, yeah.
Your own boat? Fiberglass?
My dad's backup boat, kind of. So
is it a Phoenix?
It is a Phoenix. It's a Phoenix XE. So
really? With MillerTech batteries?
MillerTech batteries. Uh-huh. You know, uh-huh. Got to run the best, and it's decked out.
And Garmin units?
Garmin units. Uh-huh.
Who's better? I hate to interrupt you, but who's better at live scope fishing? Avery or Jackson or your dad?
Probably Avery. I mean, in the least amount of time that he's up there, he catches fish, you know?
Wow.
But
percentage is cast to catch, right?
he'll go sit down, and then he'll get up and go, oh, that's a fish. Cast over there and catch it, and then that'll be his 3 casts of the day. And then, you know.
Oh, well, that's high.
No. He's been fishing. We get up there, and we had a little tournament the other day, the three of us out there. We were up there and throwing some bladed jigs and some Bill Lewis rattle traps.
Yep.
And, he caught quite a few, so. They both made Dad look silly.
Silly?
Yeah.
Because they're more used to it.
But they did win a youth tournament. Now, here's a funny thing, too. So they also fished the Arkansas Youth Bass Hogs.
I saw that.
And I've been you know, captain two of the events, and they finished second in both of them.
Wow.
Which I like to say they had a good captain. Right. They had a better captain when Mom fished two of them with them because...
She needs to, like, run through the screen.
Julie needs
to run
through the screen. Wave,
like, wave to him. Wave here she comes. You can't see her on... Yeah. You can't see her on the podcast, so you see her on YouTube.
She's captain twice for these boys, and they won both times.
Really?
So
that's pretty awesome. When did your dad first let you drive the boat by yourself? How old were you?
I was 15 years old. We had a aluminum boat called the Illuminati. It was pretty sweet.
I think I'd seen that boat.
You probably did, yeah.
Think I saw that boat.
Yeah.
You were fixing it up when I was down there doing it.
It was sweet. Center console aluminum boat. You can get into, like, any water you wanted to with that. We ran that around for a while, and then it wasn't really, I don't know. It didn't work out too much for the bigger tournaments.
It's not,
you know,
too seaworthy.
Yeah. If I got to go make a 30-minute run in a bass boat, it's never happening in that boat. On the river. In the river, that's usually what we're running to go catch some fish. So
I gotcha. And have you got to drive the boat by yourself without anyone in the boat? No. How old are you?
13.
Oh, 13? See, you're at a prime age almost.
First thing we do with them, I mean, we got to bring this up. There's a lot of kids getting into fishing and getting into boats. Is we make sure they do their boat and safety classes first. They want to, you know, they get that card, and then we feel more confident, you know, that they can go out there and run the boats. Right. But Jackson did it, I think he was about 14 when you did your
boating. Yeah, 13, boating. 14.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yep.
You're getting like some messages. Right, like, dude,
yeah,
like,
I'm so
getting, like,
bad
sign
at sign language. I don't know what she's saying.
She about ready.
I think she said that. Okay, I did good.
You got the okay to go fishing next week. That's what I heard. Yeah,
is that it? I got lots of brownie points. Yeah.
So, what did you teach them that you think that you taught them? The one thing that you caught both of them that's helping them catch fish now. What is it, a very simple thing, or is it something that's more complex?
The first thing we like to teach kids is how to fish a Senko. I think once they learn how to throw a Senko, then we move on to the drop shot.
Yes.
You master those two techniques, you can pretty much catch fish anywhere. And then after that, it's evolving into, you know, some more power fishing techniques. And then, you know, being a frog guy and a swim bait guy, I mean, they're not my children if they don't know how to throw them. So
I was going to get into who catches more fish on a frog when you go fishing. I look at both pointing at
Fred. He's the only one to stick with the frog the entire time. That's why.
Oh,
we're not talking more fish throughout the day. We're just talking about more on the frog. If we're being honest here, I might throw the frog and may catch 5-6 fish a day, but he's probably catching 20-30, and they're doing their things, catching the numbers.
But your frog fish are all bigger on average. So
that's nice. That's why I like throwing it. You know, and it's hard for me in these unlimited fish tournaments, right?
Right.
It's there's windows of opportunities. You really got to dial those windows down if you're going to pick up a frog in a Bass Pro Tour event.
Right.
When there's unlimited numbers. Now, 5 fish limit, I could throw it all day long and never put it down. And know that if I get 5 in the boat doing it, I'm probably having a better 5 average.
Right.
So I'm more competitive that way.
So if you guys got in the boat and were fishing with him and he was eating a snack, what would it be? You can't answer. What would he snack on?
Crockett Creek beef jerky.
Beef jerky?
Does he ever? Or deer meat.
Oh, that, deer meat?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I want to go fishing sausage with you guys.
Anytime. You know that, Brad.
Have you ever spoiled them? Ever?
Never. We don't believe in
Have you ever gave them a glide bait? Huh? Don't tell me they don't have a glide bait.
Okay, so it's not so much me giving them to them, it's them taking them from me.
Yeah, you buy all these glide baits, and I see them sitting in the tackle room. I'm like, you know, I'm going to try that. Then I catch a fish on it, and then you're like, I guess you can keep it. And I'm like, sweet. So then I got to throw another one and catch a fish on it.
Yeah, he's really good.
I guess you can throw it.
I almost feel like he's probably better at a glide bait than I am. And
really?
I do more of a soft swim bait. I'm good with it. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he's out there throwing it daily, and I'm using it,
right,
you know, under certain situations. So,
if you had to give one secret about your dad away, what would it be? And you're next, unless he can't answer it quick enough. What's the one secret?
I don't know.
Does he sit around and watch football on Sunday afternoons when he should actually be mowing the lawn?
Oh.
Is there some kind of...
usually watching fishing at that point.
Oh, all right. No secret, man.
I can't think of a secret at the moment.
See, I taught him well. Loose lips sink ships. They know better than say any secrets.
If you had to make them do one chore, and they had to do one chore at least once a week or every day, what would that chore be?
For it'd be different for both of them.
Okay, all right.
I'd say for Avery, the dishes.
Wow.
He's in that growing stage where he's just eating everything we got.
Right.
And he's just constantly getting new dishes out, and he likes to cook as well. So, you know, I think dishes would be great for you. And Jack, I think just cleaning your bass boat, dude.
Okay.
Keep it clean, wash it.
It usually is clean. I just right now... Man, especially fishing in that grass, you got all your soft plastics on the bait. You're ripping them off, throwing them down, flipping a new one. And so, when I get back, that's what I need to work on.
Yeah, this whole floor is like all soft plastics.
Yeah, but it's like a trophy, you know? You're like, I caught a 4-pounder on that bait right there. That one right there, I don't know how many fish I caught on that.
He used to take those and re-pour them and make baits himself. But
now he's
being sponsored by Yamamoto and stuff, we
just keep going.
We're not as frugal.
Jack, you're going to graduate. Where are you off to?
So I'm off to Murray State College in Oklahoma, being Tishomingo. It's a 2-year college, and they have a great fishing team. They're a newer team, but I'm incredibly proud that I get to go there.
Is it on scholarship?
It is on scholarship, so it's even better.
Yeah. But, look at Fred. He's like, he likes to.
Hence why he gets to use a bass boat.
I gotcha.
And, you know.
Yeah, all right.
You know, it saved me a little money, so.
Yeah, I'm excited. They said they fish like 14 tournaments, 7 tournaments a semester, and I can fish a majority of them, so I'll be happy. And then I got a few championships I'm going to be fishing this fall, Toyota Series Championship, hopefully.
Right.
The BFL Championship to make the All-American.
Right.
I got a few that I'm working on, and then I get to go to South Africa in December to fish and maybe make gold again. It'd be amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
Gold for the first time.
You know, your dad, he's got a bunch of gold.
Yeah, he does.
Gold trophies. Tell him what it's in. Tell him the event.
Yeah, so I'm a member of the Black Bass World Championship Team USA.
Yeah.
And we've competed all over the world. We've competed in South Africa, Mexico, Portugal, Italy, in here in the United States. And One of the best events we've had as a team, I think, was actually here in the United States at Lake Murray back in October of 22.
Right.
And it was kind of cool because my boat of the team, you know, and it's, I feel like I'm bragging here, but I am. We it was a clean sweep. We had big bass of the tournament.
Yeah.
We had the big stringer of the tournament. We had the overall nations, overall. Yeah. I got like 5 trophies and 5 gold medals, and it was insane in just one event.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it was really neat. So, but yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be representing, and I'm humbled at the same time to be a member of the United States.
And you have a great team. Usually,
our team is incredible.
Yeah, insanely good.
Yeah, yeah. So we got Jacob Wheeler, Dustin Connell, Scott Canterbury, Scott Martin, myself. I had James Watson was my team partner in the ones we really did well in. And then we had, I had Joey Fuentes this last year.
Right.
And I got to fish with David Fritz, one of my all-time heroes. Yep. We got to do that in Portugal. And we were the 4th highest finishing team in that deal. So that was really cool. And we won the overall gold as a team as well. So we've been pretty strong. You know, this is the first year. Last year we went to Italy that we did not hit the podium. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that everybody's got the live scope now, and they're catching on, and it's making everybody a better fisherman. So
that's right.
It's getting harder and harder to take home the gold. So
that takes us up to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So if you want to catch a bass in America or over in France or Zimbabwe, you can order them online at picolures.com. Hey, if they want to check out what you guys are doing socially, where would they go?
Well, all of us have our own Instagram accounts now.
Okay.
Avery he's 2 days in.
All right.
And it's Avery Rumbanis. And then we got Jackson Rumbanis and then Fred Rumbanis. So our names are our handles, and you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. So
there you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.